From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today kicking off live from Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. What's up, Tone?
What's up, Mike?
With midweek here, week 17, and don't we have some first-world problems to deal with as folks that want the best for the Jacksonville Jaguars that we can sit here and debate what's the best way to prepare for the home playoff game that you'll be playing next week, a week and a half from now, which opponent would we most like to face in round one? These are the issues that the Jags are dealing with rather than, all right, can we lock up the third pick or the fourth pick this week? You know, and are there four superstar players in this draft? We haven't had to think about that all season long. At least you and I have put that out of our minds up until this point, Tony. And as we mentioned yesterday, today, the show's kind of debate the decision by Doug Marrone to approach this game like it's any other week of the regular season. And look, I'm not saying Doug Marrone's crazy. I don't think there's a crazy side to this, even though I'm adamantly on my side of the argument. I understand and can respect the arguments from folks on the other side of this issue, and the issue being, do you play everybody as if, for instance, as if this were a playoff game, right? Because if it were a playoff game, as Dan Hicken said, all hands would be on deck. And guys that are iffy, 50-50 to play, maybe, 60-40 against, you run them out there because there's no tomorrow. It's not a playoff game.
It's not.
There is a tomorrow. There is a guaranteed tomorrow, and the tomorrow is so much more important than the today. Now, I get the philosophy that you've instilled in this team. Win everything. Win lunch, right? And it's a mindset. We're going to do everything we can on a daily basis to put ourselves in the best possible position to build a culture of winning. And I get that. But, Tony, I think they built a pretty good culture of winning here this year, last week's performance or this Sunday's performance notwithstanding.
Look, I think the players in the locker room understand that the three seed is locked up and they're not playing for anything Sunday. They know. It's not like they're not aware of that there's nothing on the line for the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday as far as their playoff future. So, from a player's perspective, if the coaches went in there and said, look, we're getting ready to win lunch that next Sunday, that next weekend, we're going to figure out whatever our best path is to win the wild card game, that's what we're doing this week. And if they came in and said that means that Jalen's not playing and AJ's not playing, like if they went in and said, I think the players in the locker room would be like, yeah, that makes sense.
I did too.
Like, I don't think that's the mentality saying we're not trying to win lunch this week. I think that's saying there's a bigger lunch
for us is now, right, to become a much larger
right.
meal.
And I don't think telling the guys that are important to the future of this team, if they're dealing with any kind of injury, and everyone's dealing with something at this point, but a guy like Jalen Ramsey specifically, who's been on and off the injury report for the last 2 months, essentially we watched him kind of hobbling around on the field a couple weeks ago against Houston. He refused to come off, and finally Todd Walsh basically told him on the sideline, look, you can go out there if you want to, we're going to get a 12-man on the field penalty, and it's going to be on you. All right, you're not going back out there at this point in this football game. I get it that there are guys that want to go out there and do it. I think it's in your best interest not to with some of them. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't go out there and try to beat the Tennessee Titans. It just means you do it smart. And if there are guys that are dealing with something, they don't play on Sunday, and I'm okay with that.
Hey, we're going to get into some of the comments of Doug Marrone, because Doug Marrone says we're going to play this game to win. Well, that can mean different things, right? That could mean like, hey, you know what? Leonard Fournette, if this were next week, would absolutely be out there. But maybe because he's got some nagging injuries, we're going to give him the week off. That doesn't mean Chris Ivory and T.J. Yeldon are not going to give 100%. They're going to do everything they can to win this game. We're not just going to go out and hand it off 60 times. We're going to play a normal game plan. We're going to try to win. We're going to scheme for the Tennessee Titans and all that stuff, because you can't know who you're going to play next week. That, to me, would be the way to kind of massage the situation. Yes, we're playing to win with the players that we put out there. That doesn't mean, you know, that it's not in our own best interest to maybe be a little bit hesitant to put a guy like Cam Robinson out who suffered an abdominal strain that forced him to leave the game to which he couldn't return.
No way
this
he'd
week.
Play.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. But Doug Marrone says, hey, you know what? He's improving. He's heading in the right direction. I don't know what that means. I'm not, you know, so for me, I'd have no problem with wholesale benching of players this week. Now, I think had the Jags won this past weekend, I think it'd be a lot more palatable situation, even for the team. Had they won and handled San Francisco easily, they could talk, you know, it'd be a different circumstance. Pretend that they were still locked into the three seed, because in that circumstance, they'd still have a chance for a bye.
Yeah.
So it'd be a little bit different, but they'd have something to play for. But imagine a scenario, Tony, where they won last week, played well, and didn't have anything to play for this week. I think you'd maybe hear a little bit different tune, or at least the approach might be, you know what, I'll throw Blake out there with the offense for the first quarter. If we get a good drive, that'll be it. We'll shut him down for the day. Chad Henne, you get the rest of the game unless you get hurt, and we only have two quarterbacks. Blake will go back in, but under no other circumstance would you see Blake Bortles out there. I also think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I do think the fact that it's the Tennessee Titans is factoring in to the fan base's feeling about how the Jags should approach this game. Because I'm hearing a lot already this morning. We put out the question of the day brought to you by First Coast Roofing. Would you rather, and I tried to phrase it in a way that wasn't, you know, the question didn't tilt one way or the other. Would you rather rest players, key players to avoid injury, or would you rather play guys like you normally would? As simple as that. And several people have said, hey, I want to knock the Titans out of the playoffs. Well, here's the thing. There's no guarantee that winning knocks the Titans out of the playoffs. There's no guarantee. The Titans, in fact, could still get in. Now, they'd need help. The Chargers and the Bills would both have to lose. And you might say, well, the Chargers are not going to lose. Well, did anybody think the Patriots were going to lose to the Dolphins a couple weeks ago? I mean, it wouldn't be the most far-fetched thing in the world for the Raiders to beat the Chargers. The Chargers have not been, you know, crushing their way to this point. They got handled pretty easily a couple weeks ago by Kansas City, for instance. The Bills, they're a good team. Are they a great team? They could certainly lose to the Miami Dolphins this
sure.
week.
And look, it's, you know, trying to figure out what to do in this circumstance. And like I said, I wouldn't, if there are guys that are dealing with something, I wouldn't play them this week. I'd try to get them as healthy as I possibly could for the wild card game. That would be what I would be doing this weekend. And look, if the Jaguars were to go out and lose wild card weekend and they were to rest guys this week, then we'd deal with an entire offseason of people saying, well, you know, they rested those guys. They lost two road games to end the season.
Sure.
And that's what and I'm telling you right now, I don't buy it.
I don't either.
If they lost the wild card weekend and they rest the guys this weekend, I don't think they lose the wild card weekend because they rest the guys. I think they lost the wild card weekend because they got beat. That's the way I'm going to – whatever happens in the playoffs happens in the playoffs. I don't think anything that happened last week or whatever's going to happen against Tennessee in the end has a dramatic effect on whatever their matchup's going to be in 2 weeks. I just don't believe that.
I'd be firing up Dewan Smoot. Boy, he would be getting serious reps this week. Calais Campbell, could you – and see, and that's the thing. And I compared it to the decision to go for two in the game this weekend. To me, that was more clear-cut. You don't go for two when you cut the lead to 12 on a touchdown late in the football game. You always kick the extra point, because if you don't make the two and it stays at 12, then a field goal does you no good. From that point, you've taken that option away from yourself, needing to score twice with about 3 minutes left. So you always kick the extra point, because if the next time you get in that fourth and 17 situation, you can kick the field goal and still come back with a touchdown and a two-point conversion to send it to overtime.
You extend the game.
Sometimes you make the wrong decision and it works out.
Sure.
And they went for two and they got it. So to me, the wrong decision would be just play everybody like it's a normal week. It is not a normal week. Normally, you don't have everything locked up with nothing to improve or fall back from in terms of playoff seeding, except when you get to week 17. And that's only occasionally. Okay. So you could play everybody and you could have no injuries whatsoever and you can get away with it. To me, that doesn't make it the right choice. It means you got away with it, and that's fine. And I hope that if they do that, clearly, I don't want to prove my point by seeing some Jaguars suffer an injury. But if they do, that's the whole reason you do this, right? I mean, could you imagine going into the postseason without Calais Campbell or Telvin Smith or A.J. Boye or anybody? I'm talking about the key, your Pro Bowlers, your Pro Bowl-level guys, and you can say, hey, you know what, that's the breaks of the game. Well, the breaks of the game, you can get hurt any time, but you're much more likely to get hurt by playing in a game against people on Sunday afternoon than you are in a controlled practice environment.
No, you are, and that's not even to mention the fact that, look, you have – you really don't have control over how the playoff situation is going to play out, regardless of the result of the game on Sunday. But it's likely that the Chargers are going to beat the Raiders. The Chargers are better than the Raiders.
I agree.
At this point, so it's likely the Chargers are going to beat the Raiders. And if you go beat the Titans, that likely means you're going to see the LA Chargers coming to town.
Right.
I mean, that's the most likely result of you beating the Titans on Sunday. I get it. You want to knock the Titans out of the playoffs, all that, but the much tougher matchup from a wild card round perspective are the Chargers. They're better right now than the Tennessee Titans are coming down the stretch in this season. They are.
I agree with
that.
Now,
that doesn't mean that I would change the way that I approach this game. Like, that's not my thinking getting ready for this game. It's that thought in the back of my head of, even if they lost, how much are they really losing?
Are they benefiting by are they benefiting by knocking the Titans out if you get a stronger opponent? Well, anything can happen with the Chargers as well, right? We saw Melvin Gordon get injured late in the game. You don't know. Phillip Rivers could tear a knee up.
You wind up being Buffalo. You just don't know.
You really don't. But I do think that the whole aspect of it being Tennessee, yes, because they're a division rival. There's no question about that. But if this were Indy or Houston, I don't think people would be as adamant about it. I think it's because it's Tennessee and the specter of having what happened in 1999, going 14-2, and Tennessee beating you twice in the regular season and coming into your house and beating you for a 3-0 season sweep. How rare is that? To have it potentially happen again is more than people could stomach. And I think that is a big factor in this decision-making process. But we'll give you a chance today to weigh in on that. My mind's pretty much made up, but that's okay. We're not going to belittle you for your argument. I just want to hear what your best argument is for playing guys like this is any other game. We're just going to play to win because that's what we do around these parts. Our philosophy is you're playing to win something bigger now. You're playing to win playoff games and prepare yourself as you best possibly can. In their mind, and I'm sure Doug Marone would say this, to prepare our best, we need to go out there and play to win this week to reestablish that winning mindset. I think they have a winning mindset. I think they just happened to get beat this past weekend. So we'll get into that throughout the course of the day. It's the First Coast Roofing question of the day. We made it a poll on Twitter. Pretty simple. Would you rest your guys, your key players to avoid injury, or would you play everybody as you normally would? You can weigh in on Twitter at MD_1010XL. Got the poll out there. And you can, add your own commentary to that, what your reasoning is behind either side of the debate, and likewise on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. You can also join us on the phone lines or the text line driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010. John Osier is going to be along. We'll hear from Doug Marone in part on his decision on how he's going to approach this game this weekend. Ian Rappaport will join us coming up at 11 o'clock. We got this date in football, the drive around the NFL, and a whole bunch for you on this Wednesday. Brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Hey, glad you're listening on a Metro Rooter Wednesday Jaguars Today. And honestly, I'm so glad, Tony, despite the fact that I'm going to disagree, I have a feeling, with a lot of people who may call in today. I'm so glad we could have this conversation.
Sure.
In the end, let's all hope, no matter what approach that Doug Marone takes, that no one who plays, from the lowliest backup, the 53rd man on the roster, to the most important player, whoever you think that is, everyone comes through unscathed physically. And win or lose, you've got the best team you can possibly put on the field for the first round of the playoffs. I think we'd all agree on that. It's just how you get there and what your risk tolerance is along the way. We got John Osher from Jaguars.com. John, and I'm not trying to stack the deck, but you and I have talked off the air about your opinion about this. You've been in a position covering a football team in the Indianapolis Colts that have had to make this decision late in the season many times over the years. Take us through the process of what Tony Dungy and others kind of went through.
Well, the first time I dealt with it was, I guess, 04, when Peyton threw the 49 and they clinched everything they could clinch. Same situation. I think they were the third seed, if I'm not mistaken, maybe the second. No, it was the third. Same situation. And they had they said all week, we're going to play to win. We're going to play to win. We're going to play to win. Everybody was like, really? You're going to play to win? I mean, there's nothing really to decide. And they started everybody. And then in the second series, Peyton, Marvin, Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin James stand on the sideline with the baseball caps. And I went, okay, I get it now. This is how this works. You start everybody. You go after it. And then you back it off. Now, I don't know that that's what they're going to do.
Granted, nobody knows what they're going to do.
And that's really the X factor. They will say exactly that all week, that they're playing to win. We're going 100%. We need to beat the Titans. And that's how you sort of keep that mindset that you've established all week. You keep players going in the same direction. You keep guys who are going to be on the field playing the way you're supposed to play in the NFL, which is hard. Will they do different things during the course of the game, you know, such as getting guys out who are remotely injured, such as not playing guys? I don't think we'll know that. And that's what makes the conversation so tough, is we don't have a blueprint of what these guys have done before to sort of go off of.
We know Coughlin, and people have brought this right up. Coughlin in the past had done this in 2007. I thought in part that year was a little bit different because I thought he felt like he wanted to make that team seem human, the Patriots, right? And let's prove to ourselves that we can go toe to toe. And they did. It was like a field goal game, Tony, wasn't it? Right. And in doing so, and I had forgotten this, Jeff and Dan brought up, they lost three starters to injury in that football game.
There was a little bit of a, and I don't know, I wasn't covering Tom at the time, never talked to him about it. It also felt like there was a little bit of an integrity of the game.
You're not going to allow a team to have a walkover in pursuit of a perfect season.
Right, and again, that was the storyline. I don't know if Tom inside was hardcore on that, or if he was saying, hey, I got to get my team ready for the playoffs. This is how I want to do it. You know, it's hard to know what he was feeling at that moment. This isn't that, because it, you know, the element that I think sort of brings everything out of focus, if you will, is the fact that it's the Titans. They're coming here next week. If they win, maybe all of a sudden you're talking about psychology. Do you want to lose to them twice? Do you want to give them a game at the end of the season? And that's what I'm sort of having trouble sifting through. I don't think that'll play into their minds, meaning the decision makers' minds, as much as it will fans, because frankly, I think teams in the NFL going to the playoffs, you've got to go into it thinking, I don't care who we play. We're playing at home. We're going to win. We're going to be the better team. We can't spend all this week trying to worry about setting up next week's opponent. It's nice for us to talk about.
Right.
But realistically, I don't think Doug and Tom can spend a whole lot of time saying, well, who do we want to play? There's 35% chance we're going to play this team, so let's play these four starters to make sure we get that there. It's just too complicated. They won't approach it that way.
I agree with that. And by the way, I do believe if the Titans win and the Ravens lose, then you might say, well, they're playing Cincinnati. Well, Cincinnati
Perfectly capable of being
Detroit. With Detroit had something to play for, right? I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Bengals beat the Ravens. I believe the Titans then become the five, and then you're playing the Ravens.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's better or worse. I'm just saying for people to say that if you lose, you're going to have to see them again next week, that's not a guarantee. If you beat them, it's also not a guarantee that you've knocked them out of the postseason.
Right. And from their point of view, meaning Tom, Doug, the people making these decisions, we can all assume that A is better than B. We can all assume that it'd be better to play the
Bills.
The Bills than the Titans. Okay, I sort of agree with that, but you don't know that.
You don't know.
You have to go play somebody in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, for them,
if you're
going
to get to the Super Bowl, you've got to assume you're a better team and that you're going to win it. So go do whatever you want to do this week in terms of the health of your team. And in terms of what you think is important, do you think it's important for these guys to play to have that momentum going in, or is rest more important? Make your decision based on that, not who you might play.
Right. And by the way, tomorrow, it's one of the things we'll ask Jaguar fans tomorrow, because it is more of a fan thing. Like, who would you want? You've got four potential opponents. You could play the Ravens, you could play the Titans, the Bills, or the Chargers, depending on how things fall. How would you rank those in order of attractiveness as from a Jaguar perspective? Like, and to me, the Bills would probably be the team I'd most want to play. I'm not sure the Titans wouldn't be the second
probably,
team.
Yeah. You know,
and people say, well, wait a minute, we crushed the Ravens. I think the Ravens are more dangerous than they were in that game.
Right.
I don't think they're a great offense by any means, but the running game is stronger with Alex Collins, and their defense has
been
really
good. Well, and their MO is they
really
usually
good.
Get better at the end of the season. They're obviously a well-coached, a disciplined team. They're going to be dangerous. The team that I think everybody logically doesn't want to play is the Los Angeles Chargers.
And the irony is, if you play hard to win this week, that is probably the most likely opponent that you will face in week one of the playoffs.
Right. So you just can't control that element. If it was an if-then scenario, if it was if we win, we will play X, then maybe you would do something different to set that up.
And I do, and teams, it's funny because I think teams have been accused of doing that. By the way, I think it's well within your rights. I think when you win enough to control, if you can win enough to control who you play and you want to pick this team, that is the privilege of winning your division and putting yourself in that spot.
In one of the years I covered the Colts, I forget which year it was, but the Browns were 10-6 that year. It was the last year the Browns were good. I think Romeo Crennel was coaching them, if memory serves. The Colts pulled starters that year against somebody. It wasn't against the Browns. And the Colts loss knocked the Browns out of the playoffs. Everybody was up in arms. And the Browns coach, I believe it was Crennel, said, they can do what they want.
Yeah, right. They earned it.
They earned the right to go into the postseason the way they want to go in.
Right, the Browns had won another game. They probably
would have controlled their own destiny. Right, there were plenty of chances for us to do it. And NFL people get that. But fans, whew.
Well, it's, you know.
They were up in arms.
All right, 6-4-1-10-10. Let's go to the phones, and you can weigh in on this. Which side are you on? Rest key players in Week 17 because you can't improve your own standing or fall back. Or play to win as you normally would. And when I say play to win, meaning play your frontline guys, their normal reps to try to win a football game for whatever reason, just because of the integrity of the game. You want to beat the Titans, or you just want to try to get back momentum or whatever it is. So let's go to Harry in Mandarin. Excuse me, Harry, to lead us off this morning. Good morning, Harry.
Yeah, hey, Rick. Listen.
All right, thanks, Harry. Harry. We'll talk to you again in 90 minutes, all right? Appreciate that when you call back when Rick's on. Let's go to Mac on the north side next up. At least have an idea which show you're listening to. It would be appreciated. Mac.
You didn't like that, did you, Frank?
Well, I did not. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff, for asking. Mac on the north side, you're next, or first, I should say.
Okay, my plan is to play the starters the first half and get them out of there, and I think that the second string and Chad Henne could beat the first string Tennessee Titans, because I want to rest my starters and I want to get my starters fresh for that first playoff game at home. That's me.
All right. Well, if you're doing that, why go halfway then, and why not just say if you think Chad Henne can beat the Titans, why not rest your guys completely?
Because Blake became into the Blake that we knew and loved against the 49ers with them three interceptions.
All right. What if Blake goes out there and plays poorly in the first half? Are you still pulling him at halftime?
No, I'll probably make him. I would. Yeah, I'll pull him out. I'll pull him out because I want him healthy. Yes, I will pull him out.
All right. So health is more important than the role he is or is not on going in. But I mean, so I look. There's no. Right. You're kind of splitting it down the middle, which is fine. You'd play your guys to a certain degree, but you wouldn't necessarily risk them for the whole game.
Thank you. Yeah, because I'm thinking about health, and after that performance against the 49ers, they need some work.
All right. Look, I think that's a viable reason, Harry. I'm all in or all out because look, when it comes to that ACL, it doesn't know what half it is, right? I'm if you're going to risk guys, I'm not sure I'm going to risk them for a half to, let's say, get Blake back in a rhythm, because then what if he throws three first half picks? Are you then going to say, well, we're going to pull him out because that was the plan? Well, now you're in a worse funk than you were in. Or are you going to say, no, now we're going to play through it and we're going to change the plan and let him play? I think you make the decision going in ahead of time, and I don't know. This whole how a guy's playing thing, I get it. When Blake was hot, he was hot. But he was hot right up until he wasn't hot, right?
Right.
I mean, how many games like this has he had this year? Really, it's the worst game he's had all year from the standpoint of three turnovers,
right.
One of them returned for a touchdown, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. Well, and I don't know that the way he played, I don't think he played that bad the other day, quite frankly. The two interceptions I thought were far more on Keelan Cole than him. And I only make that point to say if the coaches and the people looking at Blake look at that and say, well, he really threw two bad plays, the one that was dropped and the one that was picked with the one hand, and we're not saying that the two that were to Keelan were bad plays, they may not think he's cold, if you will.
Right.
They may not have a perception of, ooh, he's in a funk we need to get him out of. They may just look at it and say, you know what? He's fine overall the last three or four games. I get that fans are going to see it that way. I don't know how internally they're looking at Blake in terms of, okay, he was missing some reads, he was doing some stuff that we want him to work on, or it's like, eh, had a couple of picks that could have gone either way. He's fine. Let's just go. I don't know what their decision making will be.
And you got a defense that you probably feel is more like the defense you saw for 14 games as opposed to one. And you have Blake having a couple of those plays happen in a game where the defense is giving them basically nothing.
Right.
Like, they're not stopping anybody for a week. For whatever reason, they didn't get it done against the 49ers. And I think inside the building, they're probably thinking, well, that's not going to happen. We've seen what these guys are. That's not going to happen week to week right now.
And I guess I'm just, Mike, we've talked about this a little bit. I'm just not really a late-season momentum guy bleeds into the playoffs necessarily. I've seen it work both ways. I don't think it's anything close to automatic. Hey, we're playing well week 17. That means we're going to go play well week one of the playoffs.
If it were close I've to automatic, why wouldn't they have rolled over the 49ers this week? They had won 7 out of 8 and came off a 45-7 impressive victory over the Texans.
And even postseason, I've seen it both. You know, I've seen it both ways. Most of the postseason teams I've covered were in Indy. I've seen them lose 3 or 4 in December and win the Super Bowl. I've seen them go in on a hot streak and lose in the first round. It happens.
All right, let's go to Alan and Ponte Vedra up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, listen, just a couple comments and I'll take off here. First of all, yeah, Blake had a crappy game, but that's okay. It happens. Move on. Give him some high-percentage passes, roll out, and hit Mercedes in the flat. And then the second thing is, I say play all the starters, go out there and punch them in the nose, and then take the second half off and let's enjoy the playoffs. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. I think everybody wants to kind of split. To me, if you're – why? I guess in that scenario, why are you giving them the second half off?
Here's what people want.
They want the Titans to lose and the Jags not have anybody get hurt.
Right. They want to go out. They want to be up 45-0 at the end of the first series, get everybody out, feel good, and have no injuries. Everybody, you know, sure, that'd be the perfect world. But when they're game planning this situation back there, they have to assume, you know, they can't assume they're going to be up 45-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Correct. Right. And so, this scenario, well, here's what, let's punch them in the mouth. Well, it was 6-3 at the half last time, right? What if that you both get punched in the mouth? It's football. And even if you do punch them in the mouth, why are you resting them in the second half? Right? I mean, to what? To rest? They don't need rest. They're 20-something year olds. They're fine. They're not going to be too tired to play in the playoffs. It's not. It's protection from injury is why you rest them. So if you're willing to rest them for a half, why only for a half?
And if you are going for rest, then you're going for a reduction of wear and tear, freshness feel. And I don't think you play them in the first half for an entire half if that's what you're going after.
All right, let's step aside real quick. We'll come back. Got loaded phone lines if you want to weigh in on this. 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today. I'm Mike. This is Tony. And that's John over there. And
Brent, nice job.
It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010 XL.
Make no mistake about it, you know, just so there's not a lot of talk during the week. You know, when the players come in tomorrow, we are going to play to win and do everything we possibly can to win this game, period. I'm not even thinking about what happens beyond that. That's the way we're going to go about our business this week.
Doug says, just so there's not a lot of talk about it this week. Oh, maybe with him. Don't listen to this program, Doug, because that's what we're going to talk a lot about. Look. Doug Marrone's the head coach, and he's done a phenomenal job this year, right? Doesn't mean he's perfect. Doesn't mean he makes every decision correct. As we pointed out, the one there have been several of them that I think have been incorrect this year. But overall, I think he's done a fantastic job. He should be among the Coach of the Year candidates, certainly mentioned in that category. I don't doubt that Doug Marrone knows more about coaching a football team than I do. But Doug Marrone doesn't know when somebody's going to get hurt. He doesn't know, nor do I, for that matter. But I do know that playing guys makes them more likely to get hurt than standing them on the sideline, right?
And it certainly does.
And
yeah.
That and the fact that you get to freshen up some legs late in the season as well can factor in. Again, I don't think that is a big concern. You don't have many old guys on this football team, right?
No.
But there are certain players that just would not see the field because I could not bear the thought of losing them. And yes, in what is a meaningless game for this franchise. It means something to Tennessee, Absolutely. Every game, in a sense, means something. You're being paid to play. You're a competitor, Tony. But in terms of what your ultimate goal is, winning the Super Bowl, what does this game mean? Tom Coughlin, by the way, who played all his guys, lost that game to the New England Patriots. Didn't stop them from turning around and beating them when they played in the game that actually mattered. Nobody cares about the Week 17 result. They care about the Super Bowl where they hoisted the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, and we talk about the Week 17 result because they beat them in the Super Bowl. Like,
right.
Like, if the Patriots had beaten them in the Super Bowl, the Week 17 game would probably never be mentioned again. Like,
absolutely.
It would have died with history if the Giants hadn't come back and won that game. Now, look, I think you only have a 53-man roster. You got guys that are going to be hurt anyway going into the game. You can only do so much, right? The NFL,
sure.
You're limited in what you can do. It's not like you can run a completely different team out there on Sunday, even if you wanted to rest everybody. You can't. You just can't in the NFL. So you have to make some decisions to put some guys out there. And I'm not even advocating for, you know, nobody plays. I'm advocating for if there's some guy that has any kind of issue at all, he doesn't play.
You know what? I'm advocating don't play Calais Campbell.
I'm fine with not playing Calais.
I am, right? I'm advocating for not playing Jalen Ramsey.
Fine with it.
And I'm probably advocating for not playing A.J. Boye.
Fine with it.
You know, and those, I'm talking about guys that would be devastating to you if you were to lose. I'm not saying you can't win without those guys, but it makes your job so much tougher. Now, certainly, you got to play a certain amount of offensive linemen. You have to field a team.
You only
I get
had
that.
Seven or eight of them.
Right. And look, Blake Bortles, either way, is going to be active on game day. Even if Chad Henne starts, you have to have a quarterback ready to go in case of injury. But that only in that circumstance would I risk my guy.
Yeah, and it like fans are going to hear this as, okay, you're going to lay down for the Titans. No, go beat them.
Right, you could still win.
Right, whoever you throw on the field, I want them to go win.
You're allowed to play hard and beat them with your backup player or with a handful of backup players in there. You know, obviously you can't bench 22 guys, Tony. You're right. But I remember that game in 2007 when that list came out and there were about 14 guys in street clothes on the sideline. And, you know, it was anybody who really meant something to what the Jaguars felt was their chances to advance in the postseason. And, you know, within reason, they pulled them out of that game. I get it. You may play everybody this week, go out and crush the Titans, and then go roll into the playoffs. And or guess what? You may crush them this week, get nobody hurt, and lose the first week of the playoffs. You just don't know.
You don't know.
You really don't. And to me, the gamble is that you lose a key player. It's not about rest. It's about injury risk. To me, that's what it comes down to. And I'm not going to do here in a game that, yes, to me, I'm sure they don't want to hear the word meaningless. It is meaningless. It to your standing, rolling into the postseason, because even it's not a beat them and they're eliminated situation. It's a beat them and they're probably eliminated, but it's not in your hands. You can't single-handedly eliminate Tennessee from the playoff race this weekend.
Nope.
And as you said, if you do, you might get a team that you'd less prefer to play in the L.A. Chargers. Let's get Saqib up on the south side. 641-1010 is the phone number. Good morning, Saqib. How are you?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
I just want to say this. I got my tickets for next year, okay? I bought my playoff tickets. I bought two playoff tickets this morning, okay? You don't think I'm excited for if any of these guys get hurt this week, I'm going to be a pissed off dude. You know what I mean? Rest your guys. You're not going to go second seed or first seed. You're locked at third seed. I don't care about Tennessee. If they come in next week, week after that, whatever, come in the stadium, we're going to beat them again. But I just want our guys to be rested and ready to go for that first home playoff game in 17, 18 years. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see Ramsey get hurt, AJ, any of my boys. I want them to see them that first playoff game, that Everbank be rocking that Saturday or Sunday whenever we play. Man, let's just win that first playoff game. That's all I care about is rest the guys, give them rest, and let's go, baby.
All right, Saqib, thank you. I appreciate it. Here's one from Doom on Twitter. I think TBF, does that mean to be frank? I'm not sure. Anyway, Marone made the line. What does it mean, Tyler? To be fair, okay, Marone made the line, talking about the offensive line, play how long in the fourth preseason game? Kind of indicates poor performance means you've got to play to fix it. That's coming off, all you've got at that point is a 3-13 football team that has never done anything. You've got a 10-5 team that secured a playoff spot now.
Yep.
That the circumstances are nowhere near the same. You had a whole season laid out in front of you. You had no idea how it was going to go. And, yeah, he exposed guys in the fourth preseason game because they were trying to still determine what the best combination of players is. I think they have a pretty good idea who the offensive line is, Tony, and who the best combination is right now. To me, it's apples and oranges when you compare it to a preseason game compared to a one-week situation where you know exactly what you're going to be doing next week, and that is hosting a playoff game.
Yeah, and for a team that at that point was really struggling to figure out what it was going to look like you didn't know. We had watched a preseason where the offensive line was terrible in the preseason. Those guys hadn't earned an opportunity to get off the field. 10-5, you've locked up the 3 seed in the AFC South. If you want to give a guy a rest, they've earned it. Right? They've earned it. They're here. They're here now. We know what they're going to be in the play. They're going to be hosting somebody in the playoffs next Sunday or Saturday. That's what's going to happen in the city of Jacksonville. It's a completely different situation. And look, we're talking to a lot of fans today, and we know where you're coming from with this go beat the Titans thing. We know what happened in 99. We're not ignorant of what happened to this Jaguars franchise in 1999, where the Titans were the only team that beat them that year. I don't fear that history. And I have a feeling that we're talking to a bunch of fans right now that fear that history with the Tennessee Titans, where they beat them in week 2. If they beat them in week 17, they're going to come in this building, and what if we lose to them again? I don't think you will. Like, honestly, I think if the Jacksonville Jaguars go full bore at home against the Titans next week, I think they beat them by 2 touchdowns. I think they're that much better than the Tennessee Titans right now, which is why I'm not worried about playing all my big guns against them this weekend. I don't fear the Tennessee Titans. I feel like I'm talking to a bunch of fans that do.
Cap wants to know when he should call in and remind us of something we said at the beginning of the year. What did we say at the beginning of the year?
I have no idea.
I don't either. I mean, I say lots of things.
I'm curious.
I'm sure I meant it in the moment. I don't know. Call in now. Now would be the appropriate time to remind us of something that we said at the beginning of the year if it's pertinent to what we're discussing. Let's go to Philip at the Beaches next up here on 1010XL. Good morning, Philip.
Hey guys, thanks for the show. Well, teams bust their tails to get a bye, and now, Jacksonville's kind of lucked into what's essentially a bye. And I think, it's like any industry, what are the best practices? I mean, the teams that are used to being playoff teams and are perennial good teams would take this opportunity to rest players. First of all, it's not just injury, but it's resting. I mean, it's resting players so they have more energy in the week that matters. So I think the problem here is they're fighting 10 years of not going to the playoffs, of not knowing if this team's going to be able to hold up after they lost the 49ers, and then if they rest basically this week, they have to basically act like this is a huge week when it's not. And that's the problem. I think they're going to convince themselves into something that's against their best interest. I think, they better do as you said and just play hard with a lot of backups. And then I would find out literally injury statistics and the positions that are most likely to get injured based on statistics. I'd keep those guys out, and you've got to play it smart. You lucked into a bye, use it. Be smart about it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. With the exception of I don't think you lucked into it, you earned it. I mean, you earned it by your record. So that's the one disagreement I have with you. You can talk about the circumstances being fortunate that the way it lined up for you, but you won the division. Fair and square. There's no luck involved in winning the division, as far as I'm concerned. I would not do some statistical analysis, Tony, of what positions get hurt more. I would do an analysis of who I could least afford to play without next week when you host a playoff game. And those are the guys that I'm talking about, making sure they get through the week unscathed. And the only way to do that is to not put them on the field, at least to increase your chance. You could say, you know what, you can get hurt in practice. Non-contact injuries can happen getting out of the car. But we've seen it this year. Deshaun Watson was jogging off the field in practice when he tore his ACL for Houston. There's nothing you can do about those. But get a helmet to the side of the knee? That generally doesn't happen in practice, right? Because you're protecting each other, your teammates. It's those kind of injuries that you can avoid having happen, getting your leg caught up at the bottom of a pile and twisted the wrong way.
Sure. And again, look, neither of us are saying don't beat the Titans. Beat them.
Absolutely.
Whatever you put out there on the field, I hope they beat them by 60. I hope it's a loss that Tennessee never forgets in the history of their franchise. I hope that's what happens on Sunday. I would prefer it to happen without AJ and Jalen and Calais and those guys on the field.
So would I. Let's go to John next up here on Jaguars today. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks. just listening to your dialogue here, you know, the reality and the challenge in the NFL is, as you guys have said, it's who do you – you can rest your key guys, but there are only so many guys you could rest.
Sure.
Because you have a limited roster, and so you've got to play some key positions and some key players. And I guess a lot of teams struggle with this, but my question is, has there ever been any discussion or talk about expanding the roster at all, just, you know, in minimal cases? I know you can pull guys up from the practice squad, but, you know, it's a long season. Guys get hurt. They get banged up. Has there been any talk at all in the NFL about expanding the roster in any way, shape, or form? And I'll take it off of here.
All right, thank you. You know, this conversation does come up from time to time on a couple of fronts. One, expanding the amount of game day active players. But coaches and organizations usually are against that because they feel it's too much of an unfair advantage for a team that's really, really healthy, right? Like, most teams go in with about half the guys. You can figure out at least half the guys that are going to be inactive in any given week, Tony, because they're not available to play because they're too hurt to play, right? So those guys are not going to be available to you. If you're going up against a team that's 53 strong and everybody's healthy, they can run more depth at you, get an advantage in special teams because they have fresher bodies, things like that. So the actual amount of game day inactives, teams are generally opposed to expanding that, and they like to have that inactive section at the end of the bench. In terms of expanding the amount of roster spots, I think that's something that the players are probably a little bit against because they get a percentage of the pie, and how that pie is divided depends on how many players are out there in you know, getting chunks of that. And granted, the positions you'd add would probably be minimum wage by NFL standard salaries, but let's say you added five more guys at $400,000 a year. That's $2 million tied up in the cap. That's not going to somebody else. That's already in the league. And so you've got different interests. You know, from the standpoint of what would be good for the game, would it be better to have maybe five more guys on every roster? You could develop more players, do things like that. Yeah, maybe so, right? And maybe make for a better, slightly better game day product. But I don't think there's a much of a push from either side for various reasons to either expand the amount of actives on game day or to expand the overall roster. And I think it's, you got two sides that are kind of opposed for different reasons on that. At least that's my take on it. I haven't really studied it there, John, and maybe that's something we'll get into a little bit more in the off season. I do want Cap to call us and remind us what we said at the beginning of the year, because it seems like he's saying it was something that would fly in the face of our argument today. At least that's the gist I got. So I'd love to hear what that was. But in the meantime, we're going to welcome Ian Rappaport from NFL Network and NFL.com. Go around the league. Ooh, there's some testiness going on in the New York Giant locker room right now. Landon Collins, I guess when you're out for the year, it's the time to start throwing bombs at your teammate.
Apparently.
Holy cow. And we'll get into that. We've got this date in football, the drive around the NFL. More of your reaction to our question of the day. In other words, would you rest key players this week to preserve them for the playoffs, or would you just play this one as normal and go out there and do everything within your power to pull out a victory against the Tennessee Titans, including playing all of your frontline players? Weigh in at MD_1010XL on Twitter, Jaguars Today Facebook page, the text line, or the phone lines at 641-1010. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Ain't nothing like a Sunday, man.
You gotta throw the flag!
That's a hard win. Getting on the road, hard win.
Now let's go inside the NFL with NFL insider Ian Rappaport.
Brought to you by Lloyd's Construction and Consulting.
And Tenna Men Protective Shields.
There's only just one corner that has to establish, needs to grow up, and we all know who that is. I would be the only person I would change out of our secondary group. Besides the other two guys, the RC and Jack Rabbit, I love those two guys. They play hard. They love what they do. But that first pick, I don't think we don't. He's a cancer.
He's a cancer, says Landon Collins. Talking about Eli Apple, his teammate, maybe not for long, with the New York Giants as we welcome in Ian Rappaport from NFL Media. That's NFL.com and the NFL Network. Good morning, Ian. Hope you had a Merry Christmas.
Good morning to you guys. Hope you had a Merry Christmas as well.
We did. Rare do you see this kind of comment from teammate about teammate. Now, granted, Landon Collins doesn't have to spend any more time in that locker room if he doesn't want to on the season-ending injured reserve, I suppose. But I would imagine, Ian, that his view is probably the prevalent view. He is seen as one of the team leaders, one of the better players on the New York Giants. Is this a situation that it's completely untenable? Can the Giants possibly bring Eli Apple back to New York in 2018?
Yeah, and I mean, I think for Landon Collins, you know, about to be a perennial Pro Bowler, named the last 2 years, is the same year almost the same year as Eli Apple, basically the same age, and has already ascended to the veteran sort of spokesman part of his job. And I think, he's got a lot of weight behind him, certainly has a lot of the viewpoints of teammates behind him. And, can they bring Eli Apple back is probably a question for the next GM. My guess is it would be very, very difficult. But, we've seen players change. We've seen players grow up. Getting publicly destroyed like he has this year, on the field, off the field, basically in every way, can change a guy. It can be positive or it can be negative. And I don't know which way Eli Apple is going to go, but, the way it's looking right now, it's going to be one of the all-time draft whiffs, all-time or something at least we've seen in recent years.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be headed that way. Let me ask you, I mean, you have great contacts, obviously, in the league. You're the information guy when it comes to the National Football League. What is so cancerous about Eli Apple? Is he a guy that, is all about me, 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 and not about the team? Does he not take things seriously? I know he's been called out by the coaching staff for not giving full effort. I mean, what is the culmination of sins that lead to this kind of rebuke by Landon Collins?
Well, I think it is sort of what you mentioned. Not giving effort on the field is definitely one. And then not being accountable, I think is, for NFL players, or I guess really for anyone, not being accountable is probably the worst thing. Because it's like you do something wrong, okay, well, everybody makes mistakes. Are you a guy who can stand up and say, I did this wrong, I'm trying to get better? Or are you someone who walks out of a team meeting when you're having a big, powwow about how everyone's playing and trying to come together as a team? Eli Apple is a guy who basically walked out on that. So I think that's one thing. And, he obviously has dealt with some personal issues this year. His mom has been sick. He spent a lot of time away and really just fell out of the lineup, fell out of favor. But it's really all of the things. Just think about it. It would take so much for this to happen publicly, and all of those things have happened.
Ian, will Bruce Arians be the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals in 2018?
I do not know, and nor do they, by the way, because he has not informed Cardinals brass which way that's going to go. He has not informed Cardinals brass what he wants to do or how he wants to proceed with 2018. I know the last time I checked in, which was before and around last Sunday, they were pretty confident that he would be back, but, there's been also some other reports now, and he hasn't really shot them down. He's kind of just left it open. So we'll see which way it goes. But I'll say this, probably 2 weeks ago, I thought there was a really good chance he was gone, and now I think there's probably a better chance that he stays.
Ian Rappaport here with us. Ian, we both obviously follow Michael Gelkin on Twitter. With the Las Vegas Review Journal now covering the Raiders, but he put out an interesting tweet on Christmas Eve that you retweeted. A thought on Christmas Eve: if a player helps win your fantasy league, consider donating a portion of winnings to a cause he supports. Just for the record, Todd Gurley supports Shriners Hospitals for Children. They should be getting a lot of money over the next few weeks. But what about Todd Gurley in the MVP conversation? He certainly seems to be the engine that drives that offense out there in Los Angeles. And I don't know if there's a slam dunk. I know Brady is having a great year and all that, but I don't know if there's a slam dunk candidate this year. Does Gurley have a shot?
I hope so. I really, really hope so. I mean, if he doesn't, like, what more does he need to do? He's having a, historic year. Probably done. I would guess that he's going to sit for week 17. At least that sounds like the direction they're going. He's their whole offense. We can talk about him, and I think he's been better. But he's been just a pretty good quarterback. Gurley has been the guy that makes the whole thing go. And get very frustrated with these awards, how they basically become quarterback awards, and I don't really know why it's evolved like that, except that it's just the biggest, most important position. But if anyone is going to buck that trend, I think Todd Gurley has the best chance.
Ian, the soap opera finds its next chapter out in Dallas as the Cowboys were one of the best teams in the NFC last year. And a year later, there's now talk that maybe Jason Garrett could be out with, again, it's just it's a different situation in Dallas than anywhere else in the league. What are you hearing about the relationship between Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett, and would they potentially be looking for a new coach this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think people ask the question, and so that sort of leads people to, you know, leads Jared to answer the question, but from what I understand, that is not something that is a consideration. It's just, it's not. I mean, they're 8-7. You know, maybe they finish 8-8. You know, dealt with a big controversy this year. Their best player was off the field for 6 games, and all the residual effects of that. You know, everyone answering questions every week about that, and a lot that goes into being the Cowboys coach. It is not for everyone. I think it's very clear that this is an organization that is behind Jason Garrett. I'm sure there'll be some changes, but I would definitely not expect anything major out of Dallas.
Well, who is on the hot seat then? Chuck Pagano, Jim Caldwell. Who would you say whose seats are the warmest as we approach New Year's?
I'd say that there's probably a couple where I we can easily tell which direction they're going to go. You know, those two you mentioned are one. Caldwell probably more up in the air than some of the others. John Fox, Chuck Pagano definitely up in the air. You know, I'll be curious which way Hugh Jackson goes. You know, do they end up firing him? Or do they stick with what the owner said, which is that he's going to be their coach next year? You know, it's interesting that that's still up in the air considering their owner is down on the record of saying they're keeping him. But such is the world we live in. And you know, I don't know if we're going to see that many more firings this year than usual. But I know there's a lot of people in doubt where it sort of could go either way.
Ian, what is NBC going to get with them not getting a Sunday night game this week? There has to be something that they're going to get in return for not having the opportunity to broadcast the game this Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. You know, and I don't know the answer to that because maybe it hasn't been determined yet. But a lot, you know, these things are all multifaceted decisions. But there's a lot of people involved at a very high pay grade who are involved in these, you know, high profile decisions. I would imagine the NFL, which treats its broadcast partners extremely well, will do something to make it right for NBC. Because, you know, it is sort of a surprise, but, you know, I'm not sure Sunday Night Football would want just a game that sort of ends up being meaningless anyway. You know, like, and there was just no way they could get a game that would be meaningful just the way that the schedule happened to work out this year.
All right, Ian Rappaport here with NFL Network, and final one for you, James Harrison to the Patriots. How much, they'll never admit it, how much of this is they think James Harrison can help them as they picked him up after the Steelers let him go? What percent? 3% just sticking it to the Steelers? Is there any of that?
Yeah, 3% is probably good. I mean, they need edge help. He's a veteran. Maybe he can help them. You know, he couldn't help the Steelers. He was not active. He was basically a non-factor in their season. So the fact that he couldn't really help the Steelers is something that is, you know, something that is worth noting. You know, he's a big name. When he got released, it was a big deal. When he got signed by the Patriots, it was a big deal. Actually, on the field, I'm skeptical about how big of a deal it would actually be. And I think Bill Belichick really answered that today.
Right. He basically said he's an outside linebacker. We'll see. So, which is expansive for Bill Belichick. All right, Ian Rappaport, wrapping up with him here. You can find him on Twitter, at Rapsheet, no pun intended, at Rapsheet is where you'll find him, and, of course, on NFL Network and NFL.com. Ian, always appreciate the time. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy, there he goes, Ian Rappaport out the door. We will come back with this state in football, the drive around the NFL cap. Said he will call us and let us know exactly what it is that he needs to refresh our memories on that we said at the beginning or maybe even the preseason. I'm not sure. So we'll look forward to that coming up as well. Continue to vote on the poll. It's interesting to me. We've already had over 450 votes since we came on the air this morning. You can go to @MD_1010XL. Tony probably retweeted it as well. And just vote. If you were in charge of the Jags, if you were the coach, would you rest key players this week? to avoid injury primarily, or for whatever combination of reasons, or would you play them as normal against the Tennessee Titans and let the chips fall where they may? And we'll update the poll. Certainly, it's going to be up there for the remainder of the day, but we'll update it before we get out of here today. It's the poll question of the day brought to you by our friends at First Coast Roofing on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony here live at Everbank Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by Foundation Professionals of Florida. We go back December 27th through the years 1942. The Pro Bowl was played on this date. At the time, it was a collection of NFL All-Stars versus, I guess, the defending champs, as the All-Stars knocked off Washington 17-14. The All-Stars stated, "We felt that really sent us into the offseason with a lot of momentum." 1953, Detroit beat Cleveland 17-16 in an NFL championship game. Yes, tell your children, and heck, tell your fathers. They don't remember either. Detroit and Cleveland used to be among the two best teams in the league in the same season. Pretty amazing. The Colts, in a rematch of the arguably greatest game ever played, that's what they like to coin it, knocked out the Giants 31-16 in the 1959 NFL Championship. Remember, Unitas Gustamici and the Colts are the champions of the world. That was the 58 championship game, the first one that went to overtime, and was nationally televised, and really is responsible, many feel, for sparking the boom in popularity for the National Football League. On this date in 1962, the 28th Heisman Trophy was awarded. Terry Baker of Oregon State won, so if you had him in the pool, good for you. 1964, oh, there are those Brownies again, knocked out the Colts 27-0 to win yet another NFL championship. And in 1987, Seattle wide receiver Steve Largent caught six passes in a 41-20 loss at Kansas City, and in doing so, at the time, became the all-time leading reception leader in National Football League history with 751 catches. Birthdays for this date. How about little man James Stewart, right from our own backyard here, still lives in Jacksonville, 46 years young today, a Jaguar draft pick in 1995, 19th overall selection. His best year was in 1999, best year with the Jags, with 931 yards, 13 touchdowns. Remember, he had that 5-touchdown game which ties him with four other players for the all-time single-game rushing touchdown mark. Gale Sayers and Ernie Nevers have scored six in a game, but they did it with return touchdowns and other things. Jim Brown, Clinton Portis, Cookie Gilchrist all did it in the regular season. Ricky Waters did it in the playoffs as well, but five is the mark, and James Stewart, 46 years young today. Likewise, happy birthday to Carson Palmer, the first overall pick in 2003. 38 years old, three-time Pro Bowler. He is 12th in career passing yards with a little over 46,000. This date in football presented by Foundation Pros of Florida. If your home's foundation is letting you down, you got to check it out and make sure that it's protected. And that's what Foundation Professionals can do. They'll give you the peace of mind that your home is safe. They'll work with your insurance company. Financing is available, fully licensed and insured. Call 287-2690 or visit foundationprosfl.com. That was this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The New England Patriots have signed former Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker James Harrison. Harrison was released by the Steelers and cleared waivers, making him a free agent before he chose to sign with the Pats. James posted a photo of himself with Tom Brady in the locker room yesterday on Instagram, saying, "Finally, a teammate that's older than me." Brady is 40, Harrison 39. New York Giants safety Landon Collins went on with the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN New York yesterday and had some strong words for a teammate of his.
"There's only just one corner that has to establish. He needs to grow up, and we all know who that is. I would be the only person I would change out of our secondary group. Besides the other two guys, the RC and Jackrabbit, I love those two guys. They play hard. They love what they do. But that first pick, he's a cancer."
Those guys that he mentioned there, DRC and Jackrabbit, both got suspended by the team for different reasons this season. Eli just didn't play very well in the secondary for the New York Giants. Yesterday, we mentioned the report that Arizona head coach Bruce Arians would be stepping down after the end of the year. Bruce himself came out yesterday afternoon and said, "Whoever reported that, well, it's fake news."
"If you want to ask me about this fake news story that has come up," I'm quoting the president now. Nothing's changed. I don't know where all the came from. Nothing's changed in the last month and a half, and everybody keeps asking the same question.
"Why do you think people keep bringing it up?"
"I have no idea. I don't even know who the heck this guy is. and where those supposed meetings took place. That was fun. It was fun. It was good reading.
Bruce, he keeps those Arizona Digital guys. They got to keep working, man. The bleeps. Everyone's got to work on the bleeps if you're covering Bruce Arians out there in Arizona, and that's the drive around the NFL.
All right, there you have it. Let's drive on over to Cap's place, wherever he's hanging out right now. He tweeted us this morning, or he tweeted, when would be the appropriate time to call and remind Mike and Tony of something they said at the beginning of the season? Would now be the time? And to which I responded, yes, now would be the time. So he has joined us now. Bolt City Cap getting ready to head up to Nashville. Cap, what did we say? You have me, my curiosity peaked. What did we say so many months ago?
Good morning, winners.
Good morning.
Good morning. Listen, is Joe in today as well?
He's around. He's not in the room at the moment, but he is floating around, yes.
All right. Well, what I'm calling to remind you, Mr. Dempsey, is that we kind of laughed at this at the beginning of the year because it didn't seem like it would be something that would ever happen, especially this year. But I do seem to remember you making a statement that someday, if we make the playoffs, maybe you guys would host the pregame show out at the Flat.
Yes, and if it were within my control, we'd do it in 2 weeks, in a week and a half. I'm thinking that's probably not going to happen, but I will certainly float that to Joe Fortunato. That's really not a me decision, since they built this studio primarily to do things like the pre- and post-game show out of it and stream them live on Jaguars.com. I'd be all for it, though. Honestly, I think it would be phenomenal to be in the midst and be like, you know, a college game day type atmosphere, Tony.
No doubt.
It'd be fantastic. Talk about needing a bleep button, though, Cap.
Yeah,
I think we might need that.
We might have to put you over to the side a little bit, just so you don't catch any ambient noise. But I think we could make it happen.
I would love to do it.
Yesterday.
Yeah, Joe Fortunato's lurking around. I see him. He's limping his way in here as we speak, and we'll run this one by him coming up here in a few minutes. But I have a feeling. He's going to be like, what, are you going to run all this?
Right, yeah. We'll see how that works out.
You're going to be in charge of that?
Cap, while we got you, when does the caravan head north to Nashville?
Oh, man, there's a small group of us heading up Friday. It seems like a lot of people heading up Saturday, though. So we've got over 300 for the tailgate set up. Not too bad for something that we kind of threw together about 3.5 weeks ago. So it should be a really fun time in Nashville, man.
Hey, where do you fall on the issue of resting key players? I know, obviously, you're going up there, you want to see them kick the Tennessee Titans' butts, but if you can, you know, remove the emotion from the situation, would you rather, do they need to play their frontline guys, or would you rather see them rest some key guys to avoid injury?
You know, I think at the end of a season here, when you guys have asked just about every single question that you could ask the fan base, this is actually a really good one, because I don't know how, as a fan, you remove the emotion from it, but then at the same time, they had such a stinker this past weekend that do you really want that being the last taste in the mouth for the team, you know, for a young team going into the playoffs? So I don't know. I mean, I think whatever decision Doug made, you can make an argument for it being the right one. I know for me personally, it doesn't even have so much to do with me going up there and being there. I mean, because, listen, if they play the second string, I'm still going to go and talk a bunch of smack and let them know that we won the division. But,
sure.
I hate the Titans, man. And if we can keep them out of the playoffs, and especially after, you know, I think I was even softening on it a little bit until Jarrell Casey said that stuff about them winning the division. Basically,
yeah,
they should have won the division. I'm like, you know what? No, these guys are cocky as heck. Let's go up there and keep them out of the playoffs, or at least shut him up a little bit. So I'm game for that.
I understand that. I do think it's an emotional thing with fans. I think it's hard for a certain percentage of the fan base to separate themselves from the history with the Tennessee Titans, and I wonder if it would be different. And I also will point out once again, beating them does not guarantee that you knock them out of the playoffs. That would be in the hands of the Bills and the Chargers. So if those two teams lose, even if you beat the Titans, you may be facing them next week here in Jacksonville.
That's true, and you're right on with that for sure. But I think, if it was another team, yeah, you're right. I'd probably be like, nah, sit them. Even if I'm going, just sit them. But since it is them, and I think you can't discount the other part, too, in the psyche of the fans, that the only other time that we've played them three times in a season like
that. I got you.
You know, they beat us all three times. So I'm not really even trying to have that kind of bad juju heading into that playoff game, if that's me. But, you know, whatever. Hey, Joe, if you're listening, let's make this happen, man.
Yeah, you hear that, Joe? He's nodding his head with a grin on his face.
I've also had a long-standing rule for myself personally that I don't buy any gear until the season's completely over. So, like, I wouldn't buy division championship gear until I found out how far my team was going in the playoffs because, you know, I may need to buy Super Bowl gear, right? But if I was a part of this group that was making the trip up to Nashville and we just celebrated our first division title since 1999 – brother, I'd be awful interested in wearing a division championship hat and in an opposing team stadium week 17. That may be too much temptation for me to bypass.
Tony, I'll tell you right now, man, I considered I would have had to have ordered it way ahead of time, and I didn't want to jinx this past weekend, but I considered ordering about a 20-foot-long banner that said Kings of the South just to put out in front of our tailgate so that everybody who drove by and everybody out in front of that stadium would know who was tailgating there and who won the division. But I didn't do it. Kind of kicking myself now for not doing it, but I didn't want that to be on me if we lost and they won. And then, you know, I don't know. Didn't want that juju on my that bad juju on my side going up to Nashville. It's going to be cold enough as it is.
Hey, the big scavenger hunt, and it's going to be tough because you said with the weather, the scavenger hunt for Jaguar fans is find that idiot who had Tennessee Titans 2017 AFC South champions tattooed across his entire forearm and get a photo with that guy. That's the scavenger hunt for the weekend for Jaguar fans. So have fun up there, Cap. We know you will. All right, brother. Have a good time. We'll talk to you next week, I'm sure.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. There he goes. Fortunato. Mike. Crack the mic over there. Bold City Cap has got a request in for our friends at the Bold City Brigade.
What's he want to do now?
He wants to, as Tony and I said, we're very on board with doing this. You know, Jaguars, you may not know this, don't make the playoffs every single year. Haven't done it in a decade. Wouldn't it be nice if we took the pregame show, like we used to do outside, to a game day atmosphere, to the slab where the Bold City Brigade and the Teal Street Hooligans hold court, and we go circle up with the boys for the pregame show coming up in a week and a half. What do you think?
Think of the comfort, though, here in the
Director Radio. There's nothing more comfortable than being surrounded by 8,000 of your closest friends, all right, or whatever number that they've got over there.
Well, if we can massage the budget, we'll see.
Oh, is it it's above Joe's pay grade. I just found out this is not a Joe decision, Tony. It is now a budgetary issue, and I don't know if we put in for this particular line item in time. All right, there you have it. We will come back, and we'll hear a little bit from Doug Marrone as he spoke this morning about more on his approach to the game, including a comment that he says, we'll play the guys until the game is decided. I'm curious, when is that? Because with 6:23 to go, when they got the ball back down 18, they didn't act like the game was decided, right? So what is the margin that Doug Marrone feels a game is decided one way or the other? I guess we'll find out the way things play out this upcoming Sunday. We'll also check in on the Jags injury report. Dr. Stephen Lucy from JOI. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You know, they're Titan fans, and then they better know who the family is and what they want, you know. And it's not bad because it gives me an excuse not to go to a lot of family functions, which, as you guys know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not the best family function guy, you know. I mean, I'm kind of in the corner, so now it's easy. Now it's like, well, no, they went to the game and they rooted for the Titans, so I'm not going to this dysfunction, you know. But there are a couple that are you know, obviously rooting for us because there's a couple of them that actually like me.
That's Doug Marrone. Apparently he's got Titan fans in the bloodline. How do you feel about that, Jaguar fans?
Gives him an excuse to skip family functions. Right. That's fantastic.
That is fantastic. I'm saying I'm the guy. Leave me alone. Let me go to the corner over here. I say it. Sometimes I'm. It depends on the mood of the day. A couple of texters want to know, and we didn't ask Cap when he was on, and maybe Cap can get back to us. Is there a place where Jag fans will be tailgating in particular in Nashville, a particular lot? Is there a bar you're going to be pre-gaming at either Saturday night or Sunday morning? A couple of folks that are going up that are not part of the official Bold City Brigade trip up to Nashville this weekend want to hopefully hook up with the folks. Also, I got to point out, you know, he's been a little under the weather. I don't know if he's medicated right now. Fortunato thought we were talking about, for some reason, doing the pregame show in Nashville at the Bold City Brigade tailgate this week.
No. Playoff game.
That's where the I was like, well, how expensive is it to do a remote outside? We used to do them all the time.
We got a game in a week and a half, Joe. I don't know if you've heard about
it. It's going to be here in Everbank, and that would be much more logistically easy, I think, to try and shoot for. So I'm not going to let it die yet, but as we discussed off the air, I do believe there's a reason they built this studio, and it really is a spectacular studio.
Oh, it's great.
And it shows up very well on Jaguars.com, and they like to, you know, stream for all the folks who can't be there. I don't know, Tony. They've got GoPros, right? There's different kinds of cameras that are capable of streaming internet video. I don't know. Just saying. All right, let's get Dr. Stephen Lucy in here from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, JOI, your official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Hello, Doc. How are you?
I'm great.
All right, let's wrap them all up in bubble wrap and not play any of them this week. That's just me talking. That's not Doug Marrone talking. The injury report today, Tony, what do we got? Marquise Lee. Who else is not practicing
Avery
today?
Jones, Mercedes Lewis.
All right, so that's a short list of guys. And I'm a little surprised that Cam Robinson's not on that list, considering an abdominal strain that caused him to miss the rest of the game when he went out. He's key cog in what you do. I guess we take that as a pretty good sign, right?
I take it as a good sign. You know, a real abdominal strain just down in that lower abdominals just above your bladder, those are not too bad injuries. You know, a week or two and a little unusual in a offensive lineman, but remember, a sports hernia is also a lower abdominal strain, and we've seen plenty of those not get well that soon. So, you know, I think it's a great sign that he's going to practice some, but we're just going to have to be cautiously optimistic going into this weekend. And as you say, there's a little philosophy involved here as to whether you push these guys or you hold them if they're questionable.
Right, and there's different philosophy. Do you rest a completely healthy player versus a guy who maybe is borderline, who would play in a typical situation or if this were the playoffs? And do you maybe hold those guys out to try to give them one extra week to get closer to full strength? We'll see how they ultimately decide to divvy up the playing time this week. Doc, other guy I wanted to ask you about was Allen Hurns. Returned to practice last week, which is a great sign. Then not active on game day. Are we getting close? I mean, was it that close to seeing him out there, or did he have any setbacks? I mean, he is practicing today, so I take that as another good sign.
Yeah, I think when you're returning from these high ankle sprains, you know, you're going to push and push and push. And I assume what happened was he got sore toward the end of the week and just wasn't able to make the cuts, because these young guys have come on strong. And so if Allen wasn't 100%, they'd probably be better off resting him another week, which gets into what we just mentioned. He's going to practice this week. If he does good, I'm sure he'll play. But if he's still sore, whether or not they sit him or not, remains to be seen. Different scenario if this game was for the AFC South Championship or playoff game than this game. But these staff and coaches down here seem to be on the wavelength to winning this game. So we'll see.
We shall see. Doc, keep them healthy. Keep them fresh. Let's have the briefest injury report we've ever had next week, when it really, really matters.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you guys and your listeners.
Same to you. By the way, do you vote for a pregame show at the Slab next week or here in the studio? What do you vote?
You know, if you can set it up, I think that'd be cool.
Outside would be cool,
yeah,
wouldn't it? Mm.
Like game day.
Might take a little effort, right?
But. Well, you know, Joe, he's in the holiday mood, so you'll have to see.
I love it. Joe Fortunato right now is mentally showing me how he counts to two with one finger on each hand. Right. And I'm pretty sure I know which one that is. All right, Doc, we appreciate it, and thanks for checking in with us.
You bet.
There he goes. Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, JOI, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Tyler, is it Tyler or Tony, you taking care of folks on the text line with the link?
I sent him a couple.
Okay, good, yeah. Because Cap was kind enough to get right back to us, and there is a Facebook event page for the tailgate that's going to happen. The New Year's Eve Tennessee tailgate is what it's called. And if you go,
I'll retweet the link too.
So will I. That's a good point. We'll both do that. So you can find it on our Twitter or at Bold City Cap, or if you know how to search Facebook effectively. I'm always, you know, no matter what I put in on Facebook, it never quite comes up with what I'm looking for. That's a me problem, I'm sure. All right, Tyler, let's get a couple of these other cuts in from Doug Marrone speaking this morning to the assembled media. It is media day, as Dan Hicken told you earlier. This is Doug Marrone on what he wants to see in Sunday's game.
You know, the last time we played this team, they kicked our butt. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, you know, I want to see how – there's a lot of things. I want to see how we respond from last week. I want to see how we respond from, you know, the second week of the season. You know, I want to see, you know, where we're going. I do believe a lot of people – I think you can continually get better, you know, as the season goes on. Whereas I think some people may say, hey, it's late in the season. How much better can you get? Well, I believe we can get better.
Well, and that's what he's saying. He's using this – game as an opportunity to improve his team. If that's really his mindset and you're going to be better prepared to play against unknown opponent next week, I understand where he's coming from. He may get away with it. I do think you, when you roll the dice in this situation, you are getting away with it. And the Jaguars have, knock on wood, Tony, been extremely fortunate with injuries this season.
For the most part,
I mean, Allen Robinson can say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? But I mean, to lose basically one starter for the season.
They've been remarkably healthy on defense.
Tremendously healthy.
I mean, they really have been very fortunate on that side of the ball, which is the strength of this football team. They've dealt with a bunch of different stuff on the offensive side with linemen coming in and out. Fournette's been in and out of the lineup. The wide receivers, we've seen what's happened with that group. But defensively, which is where their strength lies, they've been remarkably lucky.
And for the record, as if it needed to be said, and I will say it again, no matter what approach Doug Marrone takes, I'm not looking to prove him wrong. I hope that everybody stays healthy and feels better after the game than they did going in.
No doubt.
Trust me. Tony, I would love nothing more than when we're up in Minneapolis that we're covering this team in Minneapolis this year. One way or the other, we're going to be there, and would love nothing more than for the Jags to win the Super Bowl, even though it will mean I have to get the first tattoo of my life, because I've committed to that, and that's the kind of guy I am. Here's one more. Doug Marrone on the Titans, their overall thoughts on that team.
I see a very physical football team. I see a team that's very good in all three phases. I think we'll be challenged, you know, both offense, defensively, and especially special teams. I thought they, you know, their special teams were playing very well, in my opinion. And I think, you know, defensively, they're a challenge for us offensively. And then, you know, their offense has done a nice job. You know, I think we've got to be prepared for a lot of things.
They don't generally get blown out. Tennessee's competitive, right? Even though they're losing recently, 27-23, 25-23, 12-7. Those are the last three games. Prior to that, they beat Houston and Indianapolis. They did get blown out by Pittsburgh, but they had a four-game winning streak before that. They play a lot of close games. They've won a lot of close games so far this year. They won one pretty handily against the Jags back on September 17th as well, 37-16. Before we welcome in T-Week, let me just give you a couple of quotes from A.J. Boye. This is via John Reed of the Florida Times-Union. Boye, I hate to say this, but we needed this, speaking about the San Francisco loss. It humbled a lot of people. We recognize it. We've got to get ready for Tennessee and just get it rolling going into the playoffs. In other words, they started to read their own press clippings a little bit. And then finally, the 49ers got a hell of a coach, Shanahan. He really out-schemed us. We tried to adjust, but even with the formations they had, we couldn't adjust to the stuff they were beating us with. So, you know, said, hey, you know what? We got a little full of ourselves. Not the worst thing in the world to take that loss, considering it didn't hurt our chances to win the division, as it turned out. And you know what? You better be able to make some adjustments, because other teams will be scheming to stop you in the postseason. Let's say hello to the Midday Chalk.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Get a free cup of queso when you download the Moe's Rockin' Reward app. Order ahead, earn discounts, and get rewarded for every purchase.
All right, we got T-Wig on the line. What's up, Wig? How are you?
It's chalky time, baby. That's what it is. What's going on with y'all?
We're determining where folks stand on the issue of how you approach Week 17 when you cannot improve or fall back from your playoff seeding? Where do you come in terms of, do you go all out to win this game like it's any other game, which is what Doug Marrone seems to be indicating, or do you use some other strategy going into Week 17?
No, I think you go all out, and the reason is it's probably a bigger issue, even though I certainly accept and understand anyone who feels differently. I just think for an organization, when just go back to when they got here. There was perennial, perpetual losing. It was losing all the time, and they say, we need to win lunch. When that's your mantra and that's your motto, we're trying to see who's winning the best lunch today. I don't think the track record for winning is big enough that if you see a win in front of you, you don't really chase it. So I think they're still establishing the foundation of what they hope is a winning tradition. And if that's the case, I just think you win everything in front of you and let everything play itself out.
Even if the thing in front of you, to me, the thing in front of them this week is meaningless. It really is. And I get, you can talk about momentum all you like. I defy that because, again, I've said it a billion times this morning. You won 7 out of 8 and crushed the Texans by 38 points. Where was the momentum last week against San Fran?
Yeah.
There wasn't any.
No, I got you. And, you know, winning that game last week, if you say, hey, guys, this is what we're going to do, we're going to start preparing you for the playoffs. If you do that this week, I get it. I don't like the thought of losing two games in a row, and I certainly don't like this because imagine this scenario. Okay, you don't play all out, and you know what? You get them here next week, and then they beat you again. Now it's like, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? And not only does it bring back bad memories of losing three times in a row or three times in one season to Tennessee, it's almost as if like whatever strategy you had, and you know how people are going to play it, right, wrong, or indifferent. Folks are going to say they wanted to play Tennessee and didn't want to play San Diego, and Tennessee took that personally and gave them everything they asked for.
Well, then again, there's always you play your some of your backups, and they actually try to win the game. There's that.
Well, that's
actually.
I'm convinced at this point that Wig will never call them the L.A. Chargers. It's just never going to happen.
No, it's not. No, they're San Diego. That's what they are. But no, Mike, you're right, because you think about it like this. They've actually been winning with backups at wide receiver, so and they've won with backup running back. So it's not out of the question.
They've won every time Leonard Fournette hasn't played this
year. It's not out of the question they could play backups and still win the game. They're, right. they're not binary issues here.
Exactly. And, you know, beating Tennessee does not guarantee that they get knocked out of the playoffs.
No, it doesn't.
By the way.
It doesn't.
Right. So there are a lot of things. And, hey, maybe they crush Tennessee. And I don't even want to mention names. Like, let's say they lose two key starters in the process, man. I mean, it happens. They've gotten really fortunate this year on that front. So, look, it'll play out the way it plays out, no matter how any of us feel about it, but I do think it's an interesting topic for discussion. So, what do you guys have coming up today?
That, of course, and, you know, we're only a few days out from with all this excitement about the Jaguars, we're only a few days out from the college football playoff, so we'll discuss that, the ramifications of all of that stuff, and we'll just get into it, man. It'll be football heavy today.
All right, we'll look forward to it, Wig. Thanks, all right, buddy. All right, there he goes. Right now, Tony, 549 votes have been cast, and the question, the way we phrased it was, if you coach Jaguars, would you rest key players in Week 17 to avoid injury or play everyone as you normally would? Play them all comes out 62% of the vote, 38% said rest key players. I know several people try to call in with kind of a hodgepodge of play them for a half, and then if you're blowing them out, well, that's kind of what Doug Marrone said this morning. We'll play until the game's decided. Again, my question is, if the game wasn't decided down 18 with 6:23 to go when you took over the ball down three scores, what's the definition of a game being decided right
now? I mean,
now?
The guys you start the game with, you assume they're going to have to play a whole game. Like, you can't go into it saying, if you're playing to win the game, if you put Calais Campbell out there, then he's playing.
Right. Like, and unless you're up four touchdowns.
And if you happen to get up four touchdowns, that may be a game you pull them out of anyway.
Exactly.
Like, it's not a different decision then.
All right. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor for any size plumbing job, residential plumbing, commercial, industrial, septic systems, you name it. Same day service. You got a problem today, don't wait till next week to get solved. Metro Rooter, with the right people and the right equipment, have been on the scene serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com for more information on all of their services, or call 695-1911. That's 695-1911 the next time you have a plumbing issue, and it will not linger, with Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. That does it for us today. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by. Thanks to Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, Dr. Stephen Lucy from JOI with a look at the injury report, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Bolt City Cap, who's trying to get things done for this squad and the fan base and for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll be back at it again tomorrow right here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the...
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jaguars, Sharks, and JU.